First off, thank you guys so much for being here today. Media day really almost it signals that basketball, the official start, is right around the corner. And really looking forward to the opportunity to get started here. The guys are in the locker room. But the biggest thing, I can't thank them enough. I think they've done an unbelievable job of buying in, of trying to do things the right way on and off the floor, of coming to work every single day. And it's been a great group to work with. And my biggest focus, my staff's biggest focus, is no further than this season and giving these four seniors the best possible senior year that they can imagine. And it's not something that just happens overnight. It's a process, and that's what I'm just talking to them about right now, is just enjoying the process, trusting the process, and seeing how good we can be from October until April. And George, Jamil, Dooley, Naz, those guys have been terrific, and I'm going to lean on those guys all season long. I told them from day one, I'm not here to change a bunch of things. I'm just here to add to things and to help those guys succeed on and off the floor. And really looking forward to getting started. This is day four today. We'll practice today about 4:30 or 5 o'clock once this all winds down. And we've had three really good days. Our red group is kind of our first five, six guys. They've been terrific. Gold. There's a lot of new guys, a lot of youth, and so we're just trying to slowly get them up to speed. But so far, so good. And so I'll open it up to questions.
Steve, their expectations for this basketball team are off the charts and as high as any expectations for any Iowa State team around. How do you handle that, and are these expectations realistic?
First off, to answer the second part of it, yeah, they're realistic. I think we got an opportunity to have a special, special team, a special season, a special year, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's still going to be a journey. It's still going to be a process. The way you accomplish special things is by doing special things every single day. And that's what I'm just trying to build right now, is build our foundation of our work capacity, our work effort, how we handle adversity, putting them in situations where they've got to handle adversity in tough situations. And so I'm not talking about March and April right now. I'm talking about October the 6th and trying to have a good practice at 5 o'clock or 4:30 this afternoon. And as many good days we can put together, day at a time, day at a time, day at a time, special things will happen. And they understand, and that's the good thing about these guys. I've got great leadership from those seniors, and they understand everything's not going to be perfect. We're all learning each other. Some drills are different. My biggest focus right now is just trying to get the guys a little bit better defensively, just get us a little bit tougher if I can, and the offense, let that part just take care of itself. I'm trying to give them a lot of freedom and a lot of input into how they feel comfortable playing on the offensive end.
Coach, with your systems being implemented, how much should we expect to see new this year from last year, and how much are you kind of just letting these guys carry on some of what they've done in the years past?
You know, this is a unique situation, and the one thing is I think you can't have a huge ego to walk into this situation and think you know everything or you know how things need to be done. And I try to be real humble in anything that I do because I'm very fortunate to be the head coach here, very blessed. And so I was talking to somebody who used to be the head coach of Eastern Kentucky, Jeff Neubauer. He was an assistant at West Virginia for Beeline for a long time. He's at Fordham now. And just told him about walking into a situation like that, this, and we were talking, and Huggins walked into West Virginia that first year, and he kept the 1-3-1 defense in, and he let those seniors almost implement that. And so I'm trying to talk to these seniors really day in, day out about how you feel comfortable, what were you successful with last year. I've watched game tape. I've looked through the playbook. I've studied what they've been successful with. But I want them to feel comfortable. And we'll do different quick hitters, different sets, side out of bounds, underneath out of bounds, things that I've done in the past. But a lot of the core is going to be what these guys have had success with and felt comfortable with. And then, you know, a tweak here and a tweak there. I'm not going to come in and just change everything. And so we don't have a bunch of things in right now, but I'd never have had a lot of things in right now. Right now we're just – this is kind of like what football would say, your two-a-day period. And we're not in two-a-days. But this is kind of the grind right now of getting tougher, getting into shape, building our foundation really on the defensive end.
Steve, when you talk about improving the defense, where does that improvement come and what does that look like for this team?
You know, it's funny, you become a head coach, you read a lot more, you study a lot more because you have to prepare. You know, that's the biggest thing as an assistant coach and a head coach is head coaches really can't have bad days. You have to watch practice tape. You have to be prepared and have your practice plan fit because you can't, especially in a 30-day period, you can't waste a lot of, practice time. And so say your question one more time because I got off tangent a little bit.
Like what does improving the defense look like? Is it
the biggest? This is where I was going to with that is, you know, Brad Stevens made a comment or a statement when I was reading some notes. If your defensive field goal percentage is 45%, if you just get three more stops a game, more, you could almost drop that to 41%. And so our stats overall defensively weren't very bad. In the Big 12, we were in the bottom of some of the stats. I think the first thing it starts with is transition defense. I think if you don't have your defense set every single time, then you're not going to be very good defensively. So we've got to take away easy baskets. But the two big statistical things you look at is rebounding we've got to do a better job with, and that's just not to leave it on Jameel. George has to rebound better for us. Dooley's got to help rebound. Our guard, Monte Morris, most guards get back, point guards, he's got to help rebound. And then we got to defend the three-point line a little bit better. We've got to make ball reversal a little bit tougher to put the defense, push the offense out a little further. But rebounding, three-point line, if we can do a little bit better job on that and not give up any easy baskets in transition, it'll help a bunch. But our biggest motto will be three stops in a row. How many times in a game can we put three consecutive stops together?
When you're defending the three-point line, what's, I guess, your strategy about going about that? Is it closeouts? Is it eliminating as many opportunities or attempts for opposing teams?
We'll try to deny the first pass, ball reversal, just try to stretch the defense out a little bit. We're not going to be out denying out to the timeline, but we'll deny inside this 18, 21 feet area. And then we don't want to just fly by guys. I think in the past, I think they've flown by guys. We want to close out short and contest, keep guys in front of us, contain the dribble so we're not giving up a lot of dribble penetration, extra pass, penetrating kick threes. That's what we're good at. You know, that's what good offensive teams are good at, spacing the floor, drawing help, making the extra pass, and sharing the ball. And so if we can defend a three-point line better, if we can rebound better, we'll slowly put stops together. And so it's not going to be perfect. I don't expect to be perfect, but what we've done in transition over the last three, 4 days, dealing with Red, talking about Red right now, they've made great strides. And I think they're bought into, hey, we got to get better defensively for us to take the next step. And taking the next step, whether that's 30 wins, whether that's Final Four, it's just taking the next step as players, as men, as a team, and then see where that puts us.
Steve, going back for a second to the you kind of meshing with the pieces that were already here, as a coach, how hard is that? Because you have your system, things you want to do, things they want to do. How'd that process go, and what was it that you were looking for to identify for things for them to keep that they were doing well?
You know, this is about the players. It's a player's game. It's got to be about the players first. Everywhere I've been or where I've been as a head coach, that's how I handled myself. I want to make sure the players feel as comfortable as possible, have as much freedom without taking a bunch of bad shots. I always joke, but as much freedom as possible so they're playing free. I always laugh, you know, the one point guard I coached, Cameron Payne, he shot 24 times his first game as a freshman. He was 6-for-24. And so I always look back at that these guys are going to get a lot of freedom. I want to play them with great confidence, but I need to use them as a resource. I need to meet with George every day. I don't need to say, this is how we're going to do things, guys, because this is how I did it. That wouldn't be smart. I need to meet these guys halfway. And things I think is important to the culture of our program and to doing things right on a daily basis, I'm gonna not fight them on that, but I'm going to implement that. The things that I don't really think affect winning and losing, I'm going to let them enjoy that. But from an offensive standpoint, I want them to feel as comfortable as they've ever felt. And that's the one thing, if you talk to people that watch them play in the past, they take bad shots at times. They'll make bad shots. They take a lot of shots, and they shoot it with confidence. And I never want them to feel, from Matt Thomas to Hallis Cook all the way up to the top of the line with George and Monta. I want those guys feeling, you know, no pressure and playing with great freedom.
How do those meetings with George, with whoever else you're going to meet with on the team, how does that help you with that transition then to get to them? What were you just talking about?
I think it just helps that they know, first off, I care about them. That's the biggest thing you got to do as a coach. These guys got to know that I care about them and I want to see them succeed. I met with our seniors, and it doesn't have to be for 30 minutes. Right before we started first day of practice, I met with the four seniors, and I told them this senior season needs to be about you guys. Nothing else, nothing in the past, nothing in the future. It needs about you four guys right now. It's their team, and I'm here to guide it and help it and implement different things. And so you meet with guys, you ask them questions that are about things that are important to them, and you just foster that relationship. And it starts in June. Now it's October. Hopefully January and February, it's extremely, extremely strong so we can weather any storm we're faced with.
How are Hollis and Naz doing coming back from their injuries?
Hollis is doing good. Hollis is out there. He's full go every day. He hasn't missed a day. Naz, he's kind of hit and miss. The one thing, when he is out here on the floor, we're a different basketball team. It's not even up for debate. He came out, his first individual workout in our four-man groups. The energy level he displayed and played with was unbelievable. He's got everybody's ear. Everybody respects him. He's got a chance, him and George, to be the winningest players in the history of this school. And I'm excited to be a part of that. Because I was a part of where I came from, I was part of the winningest class. I coached the winningest class there. And I know I'm coming in on the tail end, but to be a part of two different programs with that would be really, really neat. And so, you know, hopefully that answers that.
Do you think Naz will start the season? I mean, play the first game?
I think so. He'll practice today. What Naz is doing right now, Naz is kind of on a day, off a day, on a day, off a day. And then we just kind of go off how he feels. He actually texted me last night about, hey, he likes being on gold right now because when he practices, he wants to get as many reps as he possibly can. But Naz brings a different level to this team. And it may not be scoring all the time, may not be shooting. He just brings a leadership and a toughness to this team and a mindset that every great team has. And Naz, to me, and I said this a lot, is him and George embody what a student athlete and a representative of a college program is supposed to be. They're as good as any kid I've been around, representing and embracing what your responsibility and what your role is as a student athlete.
How did seniors such as George, Naz, Jamil welcome you? Obviously, they're in a transition, you're in a transition, and are there anything specifically to remember that sort of aided that comfort level coming quickly once you arrived?
You know, the day I got the job, George sent me a long text message. I appreciated that. But it's a process. We didn't know each other when I got here in June. And so from day one, you know, hopefully the one thing they've seen is, A, I'm going to be consistent. I'm not going to live in peaks and valleys, screaming one day, depressed the next day. I'm going to coach them the same way every single day so they know what they're going to expect from me on and off the floor. And so, like I said, you know, it's just about building relationships with these guys, whether it's through text messages, whether it's through calling, whether it's through meeting, whether it's just checking on what's going on in their everyday life. I think these guys know now that, hey, I'm in it for them, and I don't think they'll ever waver about that.
What are your thoughts or the chances of playing small this year and guys maybe having to play up to, say, the four position or something like that?
When you play small, you mean putting Dooley at the four or Deontay Burton when he's eligible at the four?
Yeah.
You know, Will, you know, they played a lot like that last year at times. You know, they had Dustin Hogue last year. But, you know, we'll play Dooley at the four at times, George at the five, I'm sure. You know, hopefully Simeon Carter can come along. I think he has a chance to be a good player. Hopefully he can come along to where maybe we could stay big and rotate George, Jamil, and Simeon. But I think four guards, you know, if you look at how the game is evolving, whether it's NBA or college, a lot of the fours are stretch four, skilled guys, almost big guards. I think Fran Fraccilla had a tweet that just said the new point guard is like the almighty position everybody loves, but now it's becoming the small power forward. And so, you know, Dooley, Deontay, even George, they kind of fit that role. And so we've got some versatility, not just offensively, but I think defensively. When you look at Deontay, Dooley, George, Jameel, switching ball screens, switching handoffs, being able to guard different positions.
Coach, you mentioned your success at Murray State. Do you think bettering the defense, is that the key to success here at Iowa State?
To have success, there's a lot of things that go into play. I think that's just a part of it. Number one, I think, is just chemistry is probably the biggest thing. Understanding each other, believing in one another. Do we need to be a little bit better defensively? Yes, but that's everybody if you critique everybody. Offensively, what I don't want to do is I don't want to just take away. I just want to add and build. Their offensive statistics last year were terrific, and a lot of had to do with spacing, a lot of had to do with freedom, a lot of had to do with confidence, and then the guys obviously are terrific players from George, Dan Amante, and Jameel, and Naz, and, you know, I know I'm not naming everybody, but, you know, there's a lot of things that when you're building a championship team or a championship culture or trying to have a special season, there's a lot of things that go into play. And defense is just a small part of it. It's just one area we're trying to really spend some time in right now just to get a really good feel and culture for our guys and just get them a little bit more locked in about, hey, let's just get stops and see. The more we get stops, the faster they can go play on offense.
Coach, the consistency wasn't always there, but there were two, three games specifically on the road that Iowa State wouldn't have won without Abdul Nader last year. I'm curious to your impressions on him so far throughout workouts and what type of guy you think he may be this year.
You know, I met with the seniors and I met with my staff and I said he's probably the most consistent guy we've had to me since I've gotten here. I think the stories I heard about Dooley last fall this time and what I'm coaching right now, I think are two different men. And I'm really excited about him. I think he brings tremendous versatility on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. I think he can really defend in the half court, several different positions. He's doing the right things academically. He's doing the right things off the floor. I've been really, really impressed with him. As a player, as a person, he's the one guy that, you know, when you talk about all Big 12 or you talk about NBA or you talk about all league, different things like that, or, you know, the pictures and just all the stuff, the fanfare stuff. He's kind of the one guy that everybody forgets about. But I think he's a huge, huge piece to this team. And I've got to do a good job, and my staff has to do a great job of making him understand how important he is to the success of this basketball team.
Steve, how does Monte Morris compare to some of the other point guards you've coached in your past, as well as a couple of the other guards on this team?
The other guards in this team, how they compare as well. You know, I've been fortunate to coach some good guards, but, you know, it's hard to always compare. You know, everybody always asks me the question. I don't want to talk too much about the past, but, you know, when NBA scouts would call, the one question they'd ask is, how do you compare Cameron with Isaiah? They're just different, you know. They were all great in the moment, though. You know, Monte, if I put up Monte, Cam, and Isaiah, they're all different. But what Monte is, just like those guys, he's great in the moment. When the moment's big and the stage is bright, he delivers. And when you talk to people, you know, I think I read a stat in the Athlons, Lindy's, one of those magazines, 70 games, he's only turned the ball over twice, more than twice, four times. 5-1 assist to turnover ratio. You know, the big shot at Texas in the Big 12 tournament. He's a big, you know, I know he's got the Twitter feed at Big Game, but he is a winner. You know, those kids from Flint are tough. And I do talk to him about trying to make him a little bit more aggressive, you know, trying to get him going downhill a little bit more. But the one thing I don't want to do is try to turn him in to a former player that I coached. Because I'm coaching Monte Morris, so he's been pretty good for the first 2 years. I just want to do what I can to give him confidence to continue to grow. And I think he's got a chance to be a special, special player. I want to just really get after him more about leadership, being vocal, and really trying to guard in the half court and be a dominating presence at the point position defensively, because I know offensively he can really create and get us in good offense.
Coach, like you said, we don't want to talk about the past, but how much do you think this point of last year in the NCAA tournament is really fueling the guys' drive this season?
I think there's part of it. I think they think there's more things left out there, but the NCAA tournament isn't until middle of March. And so now we can't worry about that. I'm sure Naz, if you ask Naz, I know he's talked about it. And, you know, that was probably, I mean, obviously it was a tough loss for these guys. And I'm sure there's some fuel that's driving them, that they don't want to, you know, get upset in the first round again. And they want to, but we can't do anything about that right now. And the great teams that I've been around and I've coached, you just went through the process of getting better. And when you started thinking about all the distractions and listening to all the detractors, then you start getting away from what's important. And what's important right now is just developing this team. Every team is new. We're not 25-9 in the Big 12 Conference Tournament champions in a 3-seed playing in Louisville. We've got a whole new group of guys. We lost three really good players from last year. We got a new team, and we have to start the whole process over again. We're 0-0, and it's October the 8th or 6th.
So Joe Rudy's talking about how different it's going to be for the players, but this is a new situation for you as well. How is this job different in the first few months than jobs you've held in the past?
This opportunity is going to grow me so much as a coach and as a man. That's what I'm, now that I've been here 4 months, that's what I'm most excited about, because, you know, you always have to be good every day as a head coach. You can't, like I said, you can't live in peaks and valleys. You can't have bad days. George Niang can't have bad days. Monte can't have bad days. And I can't have bad days. And a lot of these guys, you know, it's about being consistent. But it's going to help me become even better head coach, but it's going to help me improve as a head coach. It's going to help me improve as a man. And, you know, this is a great situation to walk into, no question. You have a lot of things that people, expectations out there, but that's great. You want that. You want to live, you know, and that's the one thing, you know, I did come from a program that had expectations that was about championships, and this program's culture, you know, the job that Fred did and that these kids have done over the last several years, this program now is about championships, it's about winning, it's about doing things the right way, and, you know, I just want to add to that. And so is there pressure? Yeah, but who wants a job where there's no pressure? I've been at programs where they love basketball, and I've been at programs where we've won championships and nobody's came to the game. I'd rather go with the pressure situation and then just stay faithful to what I know works and enjoy the process of getting them better.
I was thinking about last year with waiting until December for Jameel. How do you approach making sure Deontay's better or ready for, prepared for that December, and what kind of spark could he add to the team this season?
I think you coach him the same way. I think you the toughest thing to do is sit out. You know, Nick Babb sitting out all season is tough. That's tough to do because your focus is – the one thing about mid-year transfers, you don't have time for your focus to be like that. So we have to do a good job coaching Deontay the right way, because December 17th in Northern Iowa is going to be here quick. And so we have to have him ready. We got to make sure he's up to speed with everything. And then you have to figure out – as a coach, and a lot of it will dictate on how we're playing, the style of play, how you do a great job of implementing him in. And then I think Deontay has to understand that it's a process of being implemented into the system, because when you come in mid-year, that's very tough to do, especially, you know, he can play a couple different positions. You can go small and play him at the four. You can go big and play him at the three. But what he's going to do is he's going to provide some really quality depth for us and increase our depth when he gets eligible.
Analytics and advanced stats have gotten in vogue in a big way in the last few years. Is that something you utilize?
Yeah, we we always went to, with our, and I went back and I got their scout reports and I looked to see what these kids were used to, what they gave them. And so what we have, we probably have, I had one coach assigned to, is basically a three-page where the four key factors of winning, we really broke KenPom down, of the four key factors of winning, and there was a lot of other things on that sheet, but it really breaks down to, it ends up being five things at the end of, here's the keys, there's what you really need to focus on. And so, likewise to what they did, we'll do a lot of similar things. Now, whether we share that with the kids or not, that's to be decided. A lot of that more is scouting report based. That usually is just for the coaches.
You got four starters back based on what you said about Mader. Is he the inside track to maybe start the year as a starter?
I would think so. You know, who knows who's going to start right now? You know, Naz is out, but since we went from Spain now, we've really only got five returners, and then Naz would be six. And so I think anybody in this gym right now, if you had to fill out a survey on who would be starting, everybody would probably be on the same page, unless you're not paying too much attention. So, you know, right now I would say yes. And, you know, but we got to get Naz coming along and get him back healthy. But that's going to be a process, because I'd rather have Naz really good January, February, March, April, than October and November.
Is there a chance that, I mean, you shut down Naz for, or is that just
no,
a decision
no.
to make?
No, we just taking them, we just working them in slowly, because it's early October, and you don't want to lose games now. You know, I want these guys healthy and ready to go later on in the year. And so Naz wants to get out here, but he's being smart about it too. And so when he's not in practice, he's over there being a great encourager, but he'll practice today, and then I think we're off tomorrow, and I bet we'll practice Thursday and Friday. He'll probably get one of those practices in, and then we're off for the weekend, and he'll probably come back and practice on Monday.
Last question,
Steve, you've got a loaded roster. I mean, it's not making any bones about it. Do you, could probably finish this question, is there enough touches, enough balls to keep everybody happy?
You know, winning, it's about winning. And the more we win, the more opportunities all of us will have as players. And I've been through the situations where, you know, a great example is if you saw my team last year play in November. Everybody just shot it. Everybody was trying to score. And we were terrible. And once they understood about making the extra pass, playing together, playing the right way, great things started to happen. And so I think these guys are very, very mature. I think these guys are hungry to win. I think these guys are very, very unselfish. And I think they understand that the more success we have as a team, it's going to give opportunities for Dooley. It's going to give opportunities for Naz, Jameel, George, Monte, on down the line when they leave here in May. And so, you know, it's our job as coaches to continue to preach humility, selflessness, and if we can do that, you know, we won't have any problem with that. They're doing a great job sharing the ball right now, and that's something we'll always talk about.